next year is another thing. And what I appreciate is the fact that you do have a position vacant, but if you hire that position, is that going to happen again next year? You're going to lose that position. And I appreciate that approach. I think we need to hear from the commissioners with regards to their thought. I think the surface water program is important, but we're going to be to the position, and I think we're there this year, that we have cut through the muscle, or through the fat, through the muscle down to the bone. And what we're looking at next year is, are we going to have to do some amputations? So I do think we have to look at this year, particularly with certain decisions, like you just mentioned, with hiring another individual with regards for next year as well. You know, personally, we might be able to not reduce that budget 10%, allow you to go on. That doesn't put you in a very good position for next year. It doesn't put that individual in a pretty good position where they, as you say, left another job or hired on here from somewhere else, moved, whatever, only to only have a 12-month job. Good presentation, good forethought into that. Commissioners, have you got any comments with regards to that?
There was a dire need when we started this surface water quality program because DEQ did not have the personnel to do the kind of to collect the data in the way it needed to be collected. And there was a hole there that I think at the time the commission had some concern that somebody was going to go out there, whether it was Western Watersheds or who knows, and start watching cows cross a creek and dip water out behind them and then turn it into DEQ and say, you know, you got to kick these cows off this mountain because they're destroying the water. I mean, that's the approach that was being used at that time. So it behooved us to fund the district in order to get some real data, and it is verified by DEQ and then collected on water data over a lot of years. I guess my question for Mike would be, and we have funded other budgets. We haven't required that 10% in every budget. We've cut some where we could, some where we liked the budget, so some of them even went up a little bit because of the approach on funding full step system on salaries. But my question is, if we fully fund this, then, because we can't predict next year, but just like you said, Mike, we don't know what's going to happen. And we could be in a position of laying off road and bridge crews and giving our roads one scrape a year instead of two or three if needed. And we don't know yet, but and we could be forced to make some drastic cuts. But if we fully fund this year, are you saying you won't fill a position based on the fear of next year?
I can't speak for my board on that. I mean, it's obviously their choice to do that, and I only have one board member here in Milford who can chime in, but I think it'd be we'd have a very long discussion on what that looks like. We do have, as you can see on our cash on hand, we do have about $100,000. You know, we had a reserve fund, and we used that to purchase the building. We have gotten back towards, and we didn't deplete our reserves, but we've got about $100,000. And the reason we didn't touch that is because now we own property, and stuff that comes up is unknown that you don't want to, you know, drain that to then be back in front of you saying we had some issue with the building and we need money, right? I mean, we got to be able to live within our means and not go get strapped. So, you know, to that, I think we would have a long discussion about that. And we would look at options. You know, can we look at some soft money maybe to get us through this lull? Right now, we have not got us any grants to get through there. That's why we came with the full ask. There's just no grants. The state's choked back on their Wyoming Department of Ag water quality grants. They've choked those back. They've choked the rangeland health assessment. All the state grants that districts can apply to have been severely, either they're not releasing RFPs because the governor has not, has given them direction to not spend. So we would definitely look at exploring that, you know, and looking to see what that looks like. But I can't commit one way or another if we would hire or not. But we would definitely look into it, and you know, there might be other options. Like for this year, can we hire a contractor to get it done? You know, to see what the future brings. You know, to get there, that might be an option. You know, there's pros and cons to contracts versus employees, because we have all the equipment. You're trying to find a contractor that's got all the equipment. You know, because you can't have a contractor using your equipment, and then it gets more into an employee situation. So that's kind of where it is. And to echo what Joel was saying, you know, we're fighting right now on Lander. Not fighting. Fighting's the wrong word. We are dealing with a proposed listing of Lander Creek for E. coli. If you'll remember, and Joel probably remembers, is Western Watersheds did sample there, found E. coli. It was listed temporarily in Sublette County. It got thrown out in a court case. DEQ went back and sampled once for one geometric mean and found enough E. coli to propose listing. So they listed 4.5 miles of Lander Creek on one site for one 60-day geo mean. And we're right now trying to start a better analysis, a more comprehensive analysis of several sites along that 4.5 miles to see if there one is an issue, because you sample once, is it a fluke? You know, you got to. So there is, we're still working. It's not like we're in cruise mode just collecting samples to collect samples. There is still, although we have some very clean, very, very pristine waters in the county, there's not without issue from time to time on certain water bodies that DEQ finds it, or like you said, or the public brings an issue to us. We helped with the Fremont Lake study with the town of Pinedale. Our manager sat on that steering committee. You know, we do try to help every time there is an issue around water, especially surface water, that we address it. So.
Mike, you haven't been able to summarize the data that you've accrued because of not being able to get financial support to that. How important is that, and how much would that cost?
So you'll see in the budget there is a rough estimate from a contractor to do it. The last manager we had, we were really excited. He had a skill set that he brought to the outfit, that he had that statistical analysis knowledge to do, and he was actually getting started on doing that for the county, for the district, which would have meant that number didn't exist. And we were really excited. Unfortunately, he's now going to go teach in a small university in Texas because he has that skill set. And we just, you know, we probably couldn't compete monetarily with his skill set to keep him. So, you know, it's a $400,000 bill to hire a contractor to summarize all that information. We do have, with my very limited knowledge from my statistical career in both of my degrees in college, that we can do, if an issue comes up, I can do some rough analysis, but I'm not going to be able to do the big multivariate, looking at multi-parameters and how they affect. It's just out of my skill set. But if we need to, if we have an issue on a water body or a stream, with my knowledge and some of my staff's knowledge, we can pull some analyses together, because it's in a database that we can export out and then run through a statistical program that we do have, and we can do some rough analysis to make sure that we aren't sitting on a problem and not being able to do it. But to get that long-term look at the health, we don't have that knowledge. And to do it is about $400,000. That's a guess from one contractor, right? That's not going to an RFP. That's just working with the guy that we have worked with in the past.
Mr. Chairman, so Mike, the $400,000, what does that cover? 1 year, 2 years, 10 years?
So the report's varied. the last time we did a report, I think the last report was 08, and I believe, oh no, it was, yeah, it was 08, and it was the Hoback. We did a smaller report on the Little Sandy, because it's impaired for sediment in 2015, but it was a small section of the Little Sandy. The green was like 06, the New Fork was 07. It was kind of 3 years in a row when we were able to get enough funding to get those done. So you're looking at anywhere from 14 to, you know, let's see, 08 would be, what, 12 to 14 years for worth of data that's sitting in the queue, ready to be looked at.
So the answer to my question would be, could the 400,000 could be cover that 12 years, so to speak?
Correct. It would bring us up to 2020. So we would, what it'd be is, it would be one report. The way I vision it, it'd be one report with all the sub water bodies or main water bodies in that one report. And obviously we'd go to RFP and make sure we weren't, you know, paying top dollar for a statistical analysis, but it would be, it'd include all the chemical analysis and all the macroinvertebrate analysis. So you'd have the biological along with the chemical to see, because the biological obviously reacts to the chemical based on changes or diurnal or seasonal changes to the water. The reason we haven't really came to the commission and pushed very hard is we have really healthy water. And so there hasn't been a red flag sprung to where, I mean, I brought it every year since I've been the manager as a supplemental because, you know, we really haven't been very flush with money since I've been with the district, the county as a whole or the district, to sit there and ask for a big jump in a budget request. So I've kind of kept it in there as a reminder, and obviously, like Lander Creek, we pull that out, we deal with it. We haven't had a big issue with like the whole entire Green River to where we, you know, probably need to do something more aggressive with seeing why it's changed. Has it changed over time, or was it one point in time kind of an issue with a spill or a natural event or something?
Questions?
Mike, Mr. Chairman, Mike, I think that you've approached this with your board very well in terms of your employees, because that's where the money is. And so let me recap this for myself. You're saying that you lost an employee. If you kept your budget at the same amount as it was last year, you would not rehire for that position, and you would still be able to hopefully function at the level that you want to.
So I would, Commissioner Reiser, I would say that we would look at rehiring. That's obviously a board decision, but we would also look at other options, like I mentioned, of contracting.
A contractor, okay.
To get to Joel or to Chairman Burnett's comment that nobody can predict the future.
Right.
So if we get the full funding, the board's going to have to look really hard at, do we roll the dice and hedge that this is going to pass and the economy is going to rebound enough that you guys won't need to ask for further reductions next year, you know, kind of hold the line again, mm-hmm. and then we can probably continue the internal reorganization based on whatever the operating costs are then. I feel very confident that if we can get through the lull, holding the line where we have since fiscal year 17, I can do that, or the district can do that through, you know, salary freezes and being very frugal with operating and making equipment stretch and not, you know, replacing capital, you know, vehicles and so on that are due, but making them run farther. I think we can definitely make that work. But if I'm going to be asked next year to cut even, you know, 10% again or more, which the projections are from the discussions I had with Carrie and Matt, that I don't want to bring somebody in. So we look pretty hard at can we get it done with a contractor this year, see what it looks like, not kill the program, because, you know, unfortunately, if you kill a program, generally you don't get it back. It's been my experience through all of my career that, you know, once it goes away, it's twice as hard to bring it back because people don't see the need unless something happens, and I don't want anything to happen to the water in the county. But
and Carrie, the clerk's recommendation is that we fund it at the same level as last year?
That's what, yes. And Mike had a very good argument and presentation to us, and we felt like the board needed to hear that as well.
Commissioner Miller. Okay.
So, go ahead, Joel.
I guess under the circumstances, I can support funding the budget, keeping it the way it is, with the understanding that depending on what happens next year, it could be rather drastic. We just don't know.
Right.
You know, if things happen the way you would hope they would happen with the economy and the price of gas gets back up and the rigs come back in, could be different, but it, right now it looks pretty sour.
Mr. Noble.
So a couple comments. I guess if we do agree to fund the budget as has been, then I would expect you to maintain that water study program. And number two, if you don't fill that position, how much money would that save you in the big picture? $50,000?
So the budgeted amount for that position is just a hair over. It was going to be right at or just over $62,000. Which would be about the 10%, but that's just salary. Okay, so yeah. Then if you throw in
travel and all,
well, if you throw in indirect costs, it was a little more than that. You know, the payroll taxes and all that. There's some indirects that aren't in that $62,000 salary line item. But yes, if we keep it at if the funding stays the same, my board will look at trying, you know, we're not going to look at cutting that program. We'll look through our options to see if we can bring...
Whether it's contract or another employee.
Correct.
I would expect that to continue if we fund it the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal of the board and myself was not to cut that program, even if you funded us at a whole. Now, obviously, if we can afford a contractor within the budgeted amount for that person, then I would let the commission know that we're probably, you know, if we can't afford it through a contractor level, then we don't have the manpower internally either, because we can't right now do it with the manpower we have. So we would obviously look at that money being available to be reverted or whatever, or used it, reduce our ask next year, however that works. But I mean, we got to operate within our means, so if we can't hire a contractor for what we could, maybe we hire an attorney, but I don't know what that looks like, Commissioner Noble, but
sure.
Yeah, the board would look at all their options to make sure that program, I mean, right now I've got myself and my range manager and pretty much every other staff member picking up the slack right now because it doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. And we're pulling, you know, a lot of hours and a lot of time not doing other stuff to keep the program going. And that's at a cost to the district, and the board's aware of that. But the board also is not gonna work the staff to death to where next thing you know, they've got staff leaving because, you know, they're putting an extreme amount of hours in every week and going, you know, working themselves to death. So
that's all.
And Mike, I would, in terms of semantics, and that's all we're dealing with, semantics, I guess, and on that statement is I would think that the board would hope that you could continue that, not necessarily expect, because that's up to you and your board, and we don't have, shouldn't be putting that pressure of expectations on your board when you're looking at the overall picture. And I think the communication that you've given us, that you have every reason to share that same hope, provided you can get a contracting person as opposed to a full-time person, which faces the possibility of cuts next year. Having said that, I agree with Commissioner Noble and Commissioner Bowser that I have no issues with funding your full request, especially with the recommendation from the clerk as such, and hope you can find a way to get a contract individual in order for at least this year that we can keep up with this program, which I think has been a lot of years put in. I think it's got a lot of need in terms of our resources within the county, particularly the water. So I'm, as one member of the board, I'm in support of your request and wish you well in hopes of finding that contact, the contract in here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, like I said, I'll keep the commission abreast of what goes on, because I know it is, you know, something that the history of the commission has always been really interested in, that in the state of the water of the county. So, you know, as we move forward with whatever option, I will make sure the commission is aware of how we're proceeding as a district.
Mr. Chair.
So, Mike, the $62,000 would be if you hired somebody, what that salary would be, is that correct?
Correct. That's the salary that we had projected for the individual that was, if he would have retained his, that's what he was receiving. And obviously, sometimes when you hire new people, you know, you bring in and you can, they'll come in at less. But we, at the time I built the budget, we did not know he was leaving. And so we built it based on his current salary. So obviously we can, you know, even if we look at pursuing hiring somebody, there might be a few dollars saved because you bring them in at a lower entry level.
Okay, so I guess my follow-up would be on that. You're hoping you can find a contractor in that ballpark figure, but what if that contractor isn't in the ballpark figure and is, pick a number, $85,000, $90,000, $100,000, then what happens to the program?
It'll all depend on, so we have some indirect costs, and I off the top of my head, I don't know. You know, I think it's, you know, we're probably, the indirect costs of having an employee versus a contractor is probably, you know, 20-some percent or a little more. So we can, you know, so there is a, you know, if they come in at that $80,000, we probably could cover it with the current ask, because we have that indirect with unemployment.
Not having to pay benefits.
Yeah, not having to pay benefits and all that, which anymore is getting to be pretty expensive. And so if it's, I would say if it's probably running around that 80 to 90, we'll be able to fulfill that contract with our ask currently. It gets much more than that, we'll probably have to look hard at either scaling back what the contract requires and maybe not monitoring, like dropping off one of the monitoring times, still keeping the program. I mean, there's all kinds of options that we can look at to keep, make sure we don't drop the ball.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say what Commissioner Bowes and Commissioner Burnett has said, that there are two things in Sublette County that I believe we need to take care of, air being one of them, and water the other. And so I'm going to be in favor of funding this request, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not as apprehensive that this thing, or I am apprehensive that this thing will spiral downward in the next two or three years. I don't see it jumping right back up. So this year, I'm certainly in favor of where you're coming from, but next year, the year following, perhaps, could be a little rough.
Just one thought I had. Well, Mike was talking, Mr. Chairman, would it be, do you see any possibility of getting DEQ water quality to step up a little bit and maybe provide a little more help and getting some of this done? I mean, it's always bothered me a little bit that it seemed like once we started doing all this stuff, and we were getting more and better quality data than was ever being collected before, then maybe this isn't quite accurate for DEQ, but it seemed almost like then they stepped back. And does that fit your sense of
Commissioner Bousman, they haven't stepped back. The issue with DEQ is the people in charge of monitoring Sublette County are out of Lander. They're also in charge of monitoring everything from basically the outcricks, they don't go into the basin, down to I think more or less Jeffrey City, all the way over to the Bear River and to the Snake. And it's a crew of three. They have their own assessments they do. They've got their watershed level assessments, and then they've got their actual tributary assessments. And I don't know all of what they do, but they're in the county every summer. But I would say their assessments are at like the 5,000 foot level. They come in, they grab something, and they leave. They don't have time to come back and make sure that it was at, do repetitive sampling or whatever, unless they find an issue, and then they come back. We did team up with them and the Composure Conservation District on Lander Creek this summer. We were just out there together, all three of us, because we have, with that Lander Creek issue, we have three sites that are in Sublette County and three sites that are in Fremont County, all before Lander Creek makes a confluence. And DEQ was gonna monitor, and they said, great, if you guys are doing it, then we'll help. And their help was the disposable products used to sample E. coli, and they gave that to the conservation district. So we reduced our cost dramatically for a portion of our sampling. And so we all agreed on a sampling and analysis plan, and we're moving forward with that. So I think they're just as understaffed as the next person, and they have the larger geographic area to cover, so they aren't able to do this in depth as the county does, which is understandable at the state level. Don't know if we necessarily want them, doing as in depth as a local government entity should probably be, a little closer to the ground. So.
So you're satisfied generally with their level of involvement?
Yes, they have some really good people there, and they call us. Like yesterday, they were up on the Tosai Bridge, or Kendall Bridge, doing some stuff on the Green River. They gave us heads up, they invited us. Obviously, we couldn't attend. I was down at just above the Big Sandy Reservoir doing some work down there, and so was, and Sherry, the other certified water quality person, was somewhere who was with me. So, we can't always go with them. We try to just, understand what they're doing and they assist, and we have that back and forth. But like I said, I think they're just a level above what the level that the district does for analysis and sampling.
Well, thank you. That's very helpful for my mindset.
I have absolutely no problems with your explanations, and I appreciate all the work that you have done. And I go along with the recommendation from Matt and Kerry, because they're the ones that did the first inquisition. I'm sorry you have to go through the second. But I have absolute understanding you are the first one today that has set the stage for the budget's going to be in trouble next year. And everyone from you all the way to the end of the day is going to be told the same thing. It doesn't look good. And so we appreciate what you've done. Thank you.
Yeah, and we realize that we got to live with it, and that's why we have had these, and we'll continue to have internally these hard discussions, because, I ran some scenarios that affected my job too, so it wasn't, as an employee, it wasn't the best budget season conversations I've had, but, it's the reality of living within the means, so.
Yeah, we'll maybe have some more of those next year.
Yeah.
And this may be the last 25 years in this county this may be the first time that we've not been able, because we've been very fortunate to have the finances to fund projects and do things. And the other thing is the commissioners before us, I'll speak for myself, before me, have done a very, very good job of putting money away and still being able to fund projects. But I'm not sure what's going to happen now. It'll be a whole new world.
Mr. Chairman, this is just an information for me. Would you explain the difference from unrestricted auxiliary and restricted checking? Because I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, Commissioner Vickery, a very good question. Our budget session always tends to confuse because of just the way we set up. So the unrestricted checking account means that there's no, essentially those are commission dollars or dollars that we receive from individuals or parties that have no limitations to what they're used for. And so that's quote unquote our operating checkbook. And Stein can correct me if I get any of this wrong. The restricted checking is all of our grants and pass-throughs that we get. So those are specific to a project. And that's what that checkbook generally sits pretty large because we do, you know, the county ask generally is about 30 to 40% of our entire budget. So we run a lot of money through that restricted account for the grants that we write. Or we do work for certain individuals that, you know, that money they give us goes right to that. And we're restricted by law on what we can use that funding for. And so that's everything from Department of Ag grants, game and fish grants, federal grants, BLM grants, whatever, however the case might be. The auxiliary account is an account that was set up by the board a long time ago that was kind of whenever we had a little bit of, we charge a very small administration fee relative to other institutions. We charge a 1% admin fee for grants and then a $75 processing fee, which covers some of Snowy's time and the checks and so on that we do. When the university's charging 20%, Game and Fish is charging 10%. You know, we're really small because our board has always taken the stance that more projects need to go to more dollars need to go to the ground and to the land than to line our pocketbooks. So that little auxiliary account just kind of continues to grow with that. It was down to somewhere in the $40,000 range after we purchased our building. And it's slowly grown from there because we'll pass, you know, $1.4 million to $1.6 million a year through our office, and 1% kind of tends, we don't always get, because some grants won't let you take an admin fee, but we do get, and that's why that is growing, Commissioner, and our board's taking that as our, it's not big enough to call a reserve yet, but that is in case something happens with the property, you know, that we'll be able to address it without having to come to you and say, our pipes broke and insurance will cover it, or whatever the case might be. We're kind of saving that back to make sure that we can operate internally and not come to the commission every time some little thing happens.
Thank you. That explains to me why my wife had me in the restricted checking.
Mr. Chairman. I think we're probably where we need to be on this, but I just have one final, I guess, comment to make. Our conservation district does not have their own mill levy.
Right.
And if you look at what they've accomplished, compare their probably, I think, hands down, the most active conservation district in the state of Wyoming, for the ones that have no mill levy, and maybe even with the ones that do have their own mill levy. As far as being involved in natural resource issues, being active and serving as cooperating agencies along with the county, as being kind of, I guess you would say, the lead commissioner on cooperating agency stuff, I rely very heavily on the Conservation District and helping draft comments. Continually, things are going on with BLM and the Forest Service that have a great potential to have a drastic effect on the customer culture of our county and the economic well-being of our county. And the Conservation District plays a very critical role in that. And I guess the only concern I have sometimes, I feel the public doesn't recognize as much as they should the value of what the Conservation District is doing. And I'm just making these comments for the record and maybe try and get the word out of what our district is doing, because it's awesome the things that they accomplish.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowser. Good comments and worthy of being in the record. Thank you.
So next is Mike is on the air here.
I just want to make sure, no other questions for Mike? We're good? Okay, now we go.
And Haley is here for the Fair Board.
Yeah, we'll find another chair. Yeah.
They all have this?
No, they have
Oh. Well, this is what was ever in her thing. I only have three more. I have to copy.
Go ahead. Somebody's there. This one.
Oh, thanks, dear.
Usually it's not shared, so I can get to it, I guess.
Sorry. I thought Mike was going to present for the Fair Board.
You want to go get a copy made?
That's okay. I'll get
one more. Let's say it's
okay. So anyway, we asked Kaylee to come. When we met with Kaylee and we talked with Mike, we weren't sure what the status of the fair was going to be this year. So she had talked about, when she met with her board, having a few different scenarios of fair, partial fair, no fair. So we were hoping that things would calm down and that there could be a fair. So that's the budget that she presented. It is less than what was budgeted. So as you know, we have her budget has two fairs, and one for coming up and one for the next year. So the one coming up has been brought down quite a bit. They took the entertainment part off and a few other things. But we still looked at it as having a fair rather than the scenario of not having a fair. Is that correct?
Yep. So when I originally submitted this, we weren't sure what was going to happen with fair, but since then we are staying hopeful that we're going to be able to have as much of a full fair as possible, including our entertainment. Okay. So right now our budget is staying as presented without much changes. So, you know, our estimates for fiscal year 20 could end up changing some based on if we do have to cut some more events, but right now this is what it would be proceeding with a full fair. Looking at our fiscal year 21 request, we did cut about 14% on our operating budget and 5% on our administrative budget, which ends up being a 12% overall, roughly cut. So our biggest cut is in our operating budget, which is basically our 2021 fair. We cut our advertising and promotion, our awards, our entertainment, labor and photography. So that's what gets us down. But overall, we have over the years taken budget cuts every time that the commission has asked for them. And I believe since I've started, we've cut over 35% on our budget. And I feel like we are still providing the same quality of fare to the community. And we hope we can continue doing that, even with taking some cuts and just looking at new ideas for things. But right now, we are still planning on fair, and I've been meeting with Dr. Fitzsimmons trying to make plans for every single event. And there's a few that are in question right now, but for the most part, we're moving forward with everything.
So. Okay. Kaylee, I have a couple of questions about what ifs, because we don't know
right. About
some things. And I think probably one of the biggest what ifs in terms of the COVID-19 is going to center around whether or not you'll be able to have the concert, how you're going to manage that, and so on. So I guess the question I have, you have X amount of dollars budgeted for the concert, and then you have X amount of dollars that you anticipate for revenues to cover that concert. Worst case scenario, if you can't have the concert, then what we budgeted for that is not a loss for you, but how would that impact the Fair Board with the monies that you would anticipate receiving from that concert with your budget? Major, minor, what?
I estimate our revenues to be down, just obviously because if we're not able to hold those bands, and Pete Gressling's another one that is like that, which will impact our revenue, which in turn goes up to our fiscal year 21 request of not asking the same amount for our entertainment. So showing that cut there. But it's, I mean, as far as an actual number, I don't know what that would be at this point in time.
Because I know you're going to, if they were not to, if the health officer wasn't allowed to have, for you to have the full concert, it's going to have a negative impact in terms of those revenues. You still have, from your budget, the county portion of what we allocate on your request towards that, but it's still going to impact you because we're not fully funded that operation. Part of that is from gate receipts,
right,
so to speak. So that's what, I mean, is that going to be a major imposition for you if it's the worst case scenario?
No, we're actually still able to get out of most of our entertainment contracts without penalty.
That's the other question.
So
what do you have on that?
Until the end of this month.
Okay.
So if we're able to get out of those contracts without penalty, it wouldn't be a huge, it wouldn't change things that much.
Okay.
If we were bound and not able to get out of those contracts without penalty, we would be facing a $30,000 roughly, you know, expense that we have to pay that we can't recover any income on.
I know each county is different. I know they handle things differently, but have you had any communication with other counties in terms of their anticipations with regard to the areas of concern, like the concert, pig wrestling, the congregated type events?
In Wyoming right now, I would say it's kind of 50-50 on fairs. A lot of the fairs around us, so Sweetwater County and Uinta County have already chose to cancel all of their entertainment, including free stage entertainment. But that canceling free stage entertainment, you know, when I met with Dr. Fitzsimmons, we are totally okay to proceed with our free stage entertainment, but no concern at all. So those two counties have canceled. Teton County is still waiting to make their decision, and then Lincoln County is proceeding 110% with their fair. They are not cutting anything, they don't plan to cut anything, and they have basically said that somebody from the state will have to come shut down their fair if that's what it comes down to. Their county is not going to require them to shut down. So there's two totally different perspectives there. Most fairs, at minimum, are for sure having their livestock shows. Some are doing virtual static exhibit shows, but I don't see any reason to do that either. I think, you know, our livestock, our free stage entertainment, our static exhibits, everything is okay to proceed, so.
Well, with regards to the comments you just made about Lincoln County, I certainly appreciate the stance that your board has taken in cooperation with our county health officer. It's a good reflection on our county, so thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to thank you guys for, I've only attended one meeting, but you do have a plan, and you are working with Dr. Fitzsimmons, and it will all come together. And it's not like you're just kind of looking off into space. Everybody's working very hard to make this fall into place. And it will, with a plan. And you have one. And you've answered the questions. If it doesn't happen, you still have a plan for next year.
Right.
Financially and what's going to happen. And that's what will make it work. Thank you very much.
Commissioner?
I just have a question about, so sale day.
Mm-hmm.
Does your board have any concerns such as the turnout for the buyers and all that being significantly smaller due to the situation we're in? Have you considered doing a virtual sale at the same time? Can you commingle those two sales to get a better turnout for hopefully better revenues for the kids?
So there's a separate association, which is the Livestock Sale Association, that runs the sale. The Fair Board does not run the sale.
Okay.
But I do know that livestock sales are exempt from the health orders as far as crowds. But I know that the Livestock Sale Association had their meeting last week, and they were talking about also providing an online option for people to get on and bid. You know, just from attending cattle sales, I know there's hundreds of different
kind of
way
the
groups.
Future, it'd be a way to start working towards that.
Yeah, that you could bring in to run a live sale online at the same time or take phone bids while people are there bidding in person too.
So the best of your knowledge is they're working towards that.
I believe so.
Okay, thank you.
More on that?
No, I don't. But I will say the other thing that the Fair Board's done because of the unknown is we went to a virtual fair book. So we're not going to have a printed fair book because we should already have that printed if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we should have it in person on a normal year already.
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out to try to have that to where you can have it on your cell phone instead of that big fair book, and how that affects reaching out to the public too. So.
So, Mr. Chairman, thank you. So, Kaylee, I know that a lot of times there are, I'll just use a general term, concerts put on, and they actually lose money, but they're for the entertainment and enjoyment of the community, so to speak. So, on an average, and I know there have been some pretty good entertainment show up here, but on an average, what would the entertainment section of the fair cost you guys, or does it make money? I guess is what my question is.
It does not make money. You know, if the Fair Board strongly feels that we are providing entertainment for the whole county, whether it be the kids in the community, the adults in the community, and it's one place together, and that a lot of our budget is funded by the county members, and this is a way to pay them back. So we have not charged a lot for our entertainment in the past, just because we want something for people in the community to come enjoy at not ridiculous expenses.
And I agree with that. Yes, thank you.
I was just going to comment based on the previous discussion that livestock sales generally, auctions, bull sales, for years now have had online bids. Get on the phone, get on the computer. I mean, it's not hard to do, and I hope the Livestock Committee adds that routinely and see how it works. And it might increase the volume of items if it's overall.
I would agree. And, you know, so many the programs that we use to run fair are coming out with virtual options for online livestock sales that they have not had in the past. But at the same time, some of those organizations that have ran those cattle sales for years are so well polished. And, you know, so many people in our community are already familiar with those programs that it wouldn't be hard for them to get on and buy something.
Any other questions, comments? So, very good, I think. Good presentation, and good luck, and we'll have a fair at some point.
We're sure trying.
Hopefully, yes.
We are going to have most of a fair, yes. For sure.
So, thank you for your work.
Yep, thank you.
Scheduled next for the Pine Marlton Airport, but we could just hop in right quick for the food closet. They just in portion. Okay. He's gonna visit right quick. Can he just take 5 seconds and then we'll talk?
Bill, you gonna talk to the food closet? Okay. Kate printed out a little something for you guys there, just real quick. Mainly I'm here because at the bottom it says we would like to work on the cooler. And before I work on the cooler, I want to make sure it's okay with you guys, it's your building. Kay couldn't be here, she's out of town.
So, Todd, what about the refrigeration system update? What's it asked there?
It's the cooler, the walk-in cooler, and it's been down for quite a while, over the years, and of course, we could really use it, you know. And I was just making sure the town of Marlton's willing to go work on it, maybe get it squared away, and Kay, I believe, said she has some money we can do something with. I just wanted to make sure it was okay with you guys.
So you're asking if you can repair or work on our cooler? Thank you. Yes.
Well, before we go in the building and do anything, I mean, you know, we're in there. The town of Marlton's been packaging and
Maybe the easiest decision today.
But I would like to say, I know Kay's not here. The food closet has done, as have they at the other end of the county as well, really stepped up to the plate in terms of providing at a special kind of need. So we really appreciate all the volunteer efforts that have gone into this and the services that have been rendered. And I would like to think that the worst is behind us, but we don't know, and we just like to thank you and express our appreciation to all the group and the volunteers that have stepped up to be able to do this.
Great, thank you.
Great, yes, thank you very much, Todd.
Okay with me working on that cooler?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It was all yeah. There for. Yeah.
All right. So we met with W. Pine Marlton Airport Board via Zoom in April. They did reduce. Last year, we had put some money in the budget to see if they could find the FBO operator. And that didn't really pan out for them. They did decrease their budget from what they had asked the year before to $86,000. And while we were visiting with the airport board, it was brought up last year and it's still a concern. They are doing the maintenance and mowing and snow removal. So that's why I asked for them to be here today. Their request was $86,000. But Matt and I talked and we would like to maybe recommend some kind of stipend on top of that, so that they can pay a part-time person to remove snow or do some mowing or maintenance situation. So go ahead and you want to Phil tell them?
Okay. I'm Phil Stevens, Big Pine Airport, and the board would like to thank you guys for your support. We were able to reduce the budget. But you had funded us to go get a headhunter to go out to find an FBO. Well, a couple of them fell on our lap, which we entertained, went through, and they were very promising, but due to the lack of infrastructure here, as in food and motels, they both backed out. One went to Afton, another one, I don't know where they landed. But that it was a very, both of them were very exciting, and we were pretty pumped up. So after that was probably about February or so, we were pretty distraught. So we have not used those funds to get a headhunter. So if you'd like us to return that would be fine with us. We do currently have two more people that are interested in operating the airport. That is not managing it. We would still have to manage it and through our volunteerism and all. But these are also promising. So, it's looking up. We're really shocked, you know, within the last less than 6 months, we've had four people approach us. The two previous were brought on by Sam Bixler. He brought them on, and but those fell through. So, the volunteerism is all but one clerk, and we still do all the plowing of the runways, the mowing and all that. The towns have helped us in the lawn maintenance and things like that. So we've hired that out. So that's been very helpful. So, we did get a county rep to represent the county. Well, he's moved to Lander now, so we need a county rep from y'all. So we don't have any recommendations at this time. We are still considering that. We did cancel our flying due to the situation. What else do we have? Our hangar space has been, we've gained four aircraft for rental in there, so that's looking up. Our fuel sales did fall off about 4,000 gallons this last year. So, but as we shared with you last year, we were accepted by CAA as one of the two airports in the state to be recommended for CAA, which is a corporate aircraft association. And there's about 5,000 members, and we're seeing this past year probably about 5,000 gallons through that organization. So that seems to be picking up. General aviation with the 100 low lead, that's still pretty weak. So I don't know what's going on there. So any questions?
Request for this year was down by how much did you say, Kim?
Well, in 1819, it was 96,000. We added, last year it was 144, which right. Included the 100. And they requested 86 this year, which is down from, if you take the headhunter, right?
Right.
But in our conversation, we just felt like the Board of Commissioners should understand that they're probably going to need some help with the snow plowing and maybe adding a little bit to the budget to pay for that.
Well, I agree with you 100% because I know these guys are not getting any younger either.
that's why I asked them to come and talk with you about that.
We did approach people and did get bids from three different local contractors to do the snow removal, and it's out of our price range. So that's why we did go back to them and ask for just manpower to run our equipment, and we had one taker of that, and then we got to think our stuff is pretty archaic, and so we kind of baby it and repair it ourselves and all that. So that's why we continued again this year to remove this.
So, Mr. Chairman, so the snow removal and the cutting of the grass, mm-hmm. the full length of the airport,
yes.
is done by volunteers?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, so is the $86,000 that you requested, would that cover if in fact you found somebody who's a fixed base operator, would that cover that, or
no.
explain that one to me?
The $86,000 is just the bare bones of what it is for us with our volunteerism to get people. That's utilities, that's all our fees, that's all of our
So do you still hope to get an FBO?
We have a really, really...
Then you still have money in there that you could use for that.
Yes.
That thing that we've...
We do.
Allocated.
We do.
How mm-hmm. much was that? Do you know off the top of your head?
48.
48.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, the FBO would fund himself as he got here through different various...
That's in the negotiations, yes. I mean, we have tried, I've been on the board 8 years, and we've tried everything to where we'll still pay the utilities, you come in, make a go of it, and we'll look at it annually to see how much you can take over of the utilities and things like that. I mean, our whole intent as the board is to get the airport off the taxpayer back,
right.
you know. And so that's where we were approaching it. Well, we could stay status quo until we could see that they would make it go on their own.
Right.
But to get to Commissioner Drinker's question, the FBO is not going to be a salary position. You recruit that person, and then that person runs that business.
And, you know, I understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether this was part of the, to help get them motivated, so to speak. Or it's just the bare bones operation from a year that
is
done by volunteers, with the exception of the secretary.
That is correct.
So, Kerry, what would your recommendation be in terms of their ask and increase to provide some of those maintenance services?
I didn't know what the contact.
That they are. I didn't come prepared with that. I do have those numbers. I would say it's probably a 4-man crew, 3 pieces of equipment. It's approximately $500 an hour, which would take probably 3 hours, so $1,500 a snow.
So, Mr. Chairman, the $4,500 that you have left over, and you're still using that to reach out for an FBO, possibly, or mm-hmm. it's kind of sitting in limbo right now, $45,000. So
mm-hmm.
it's sitting in limbo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just a suggestion, we let that carry over into this other budget, and they utilize that for snow removal, or I don't know. Is that a suggestion?
Well, it's a good suggestion. What happens if they have the opportunity to get ahead of it to find some potential FBO, then they're going to be shortfall money too. I will say this, and everybody knows this, but snow removal is crucial for that airport, particularly with medical transport.
Correct.
And I've been around long enough to know that there's times they can't come in and can't come in. There's times that they've landed from other communities. We've had Afton come in here. We've had Lifelight from Pinedale come in here because the other airports are either socked in with low visibility or snow or whatever. So it's something that's critical to supply to the community. So my position is whatever you reasonably think it takes, we ought to be able to provide for you. Your level of volunteerism has been exemplary, extreme. It's gone on for a number of years. But
guys doing the volunteer are not getting any younger. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. It's just the way it is. And you're going to need some help.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with that. I'm surprised that the people that are in that business of snow removal, that can't sharpen their pencil a little bit, because they're not working right now down here. Nobody seems to be. And I'm wondering if we approach them back to, we really want to do this, but can you sharpen your pencil a little bit for the work? But I agree with Commissioner Burnett that it's, I know the guys that are plowing the snow, and if they can't do it, that airport is closed.
So do you want for Mr. Fleury to communicate and get some numbers for when we look at our final budget review?
Yeah, I think so. If you could get some numbers that we could look at to add to that with the anticipation of having to meet that need, I think that would be good.
Okay.
Because we do have the history of approximate snowfalls a year. So, I mean, you know, how many times we plow a year, and then we can go with yeah, we can get that number.
Yeah. And how much, what funding do you get from the towns?
10 apiece.
Okay.
And they have been willing, you know, Marbleton threw an extra for the lawn care and things like that.
Okay.
So they help us a ton. You know,
okay. Very helpful. Any questions for
Phil? Mr. Chairman, I do think it's important that the board maintain their quest to get an FBO that in the long term. It sounds good to build enough the business, increase in fuel sales, and become self-sufficient.
And get people in here. And maybe a business.
Yeah, and hopefully we can make that happen. But I'm good with either guessing at a number or a tentative number, or having him get back to Kerry with an estimated number for snow removal. Right? I'm good with any way you want to go forward with it.
One encouraging thing, what's we've found, which is probably going to be hurtful now, but a lot of charter companies that are in the larger cities are looking for a satellite maintenance facility, and that's who's approaching us. But with charters being down, with flying being down, you know, but that's been very encouraging, that they're looking for satellite maintenance, that they bring their planes in, repair them, and then send them on their way, I think. So it's opened our eyes to another avenue.
Good. It's a good facility.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's amazing.
So what, you had two FBO applicants, so to speak, it sounded like, or people that were interested, but they came here and were no longer interested. So what was the biggest reason? I'm guessing the monetary value of some sort.
It was there. One was a school, and so there wasn't enough motels or enough eateries, and that was for the other charter business. There wasn't an infrastructure in the town large enough to support what they wanted to do.
Any other questions for Mr. Stevens?
Just look forward to seeing what number you guys work on, I guess.
Okay.
That's a hard number to figure out.
Oh, we'll get it. We'll mail them. We're not going to have
it's more of a, it's like telling the weather. Good luck.
But we have seven years of it, so we can come up with a pretty good number.
Okay, Phil, thanks for your...
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Appreciate it.
Tell your board, thanks for their work.
Yes.
They're an amazing board.
Yeah.
They are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, can we take a 5-minute break? We'll figure out where we're going from here.
So, I guess around 11, we'll see where we are and decide if I'm ordering lunch, and then go from there.
Okay.
Or do you want me to order it now?
Well, what do we have for, I'm not sure what else we have to do.
Well, let's see where we are.
Yeah, okay. We'll take a 5-minute break.